Walter turned more pages. Here's a check for $600, made out by my grandmother to the law firm in Cleveland, Ohio. $600. My grandmother never had any money. I don't understand why she had to pay that law firm anything. The gift of her house and her papers should have been enough. My grandmother may have been president of the foundation, but it was in name only. Jane Rylands assumed certain exclusive powers for herself. She put my grandmother's Gaudier Breschka notebooks in a safe deposit box, which actually seemed a wise thing to do because they were very valuable. But when my grandmother and I went to the bank to retrieve them, we were turned away. The bank official told us that Jane Rylands was the only person who had authority to open the safe deposit box of the Ezra Pound Foundation. My grandmother said, "But I'm president of the Ezra Pound Foundation." The bank officer said, "I'm sorry, we have our instructions from Mrs. Rylands." Walter turned more pages in the red notebook. "Ah, I found it," he said. It was a small piece of light blue writing paper, on which was written, in large letters, as if for a child to read, words to the effect of, "Look in the safe deposit box. Count the notebooks. How many notebooks do you see? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It seemed the written equivalent of speaking slowly and with exaggerated clarity to a child, or perhaps to an old person who was a bit confused. The piece of paper was unsigned, and whoever was intended to circle a number did not. "What is the significance of this?" I asked. Walter shrugged. "I am sure Jane Rylands wrote it. I think it's indicative of my grandmother's state of mind and Jane's caution once the gossip had begun." He slipped the piece of paper back into its clear plastic sleeve. "Sometimes Jane involved herself in matters that had nothing to do with the foundation," he went on. "My grandmother owned 2 important paintings, by Fernand Léger and Max Ernst. Jane took them to the Guggenheim to be framed, she said, and for safekeeping. When we asked Jane to give them back, it took her months to return them, and when she did, they were still unframed." "Did you ever ask Jane why she got into all of this?" I asked. "Yes," said Mary, "and she said, 'I'm in it for business reasons.' She spoke about setting up Ezra Pound libraries in major cities around the world. There would be symposiums, conferences, publications." "She repeated that comment several times," said Walter, "that she was in it for business reasons." "Why didn't you sue to have your grandmother's contracts declared invalid?" "We were told the only way the contracts could be nullified was through criminal law," said Walter. "We would have had to make accusations of fraud or circumvenzione d'incapace, which means deception of the disabled, and we were not prepared to do that. Anyway, we were told that no lawyer in Venice would take a case against another Venetian lawyer or notary. We'd have to find a lawyer in Milan or Rome." Walter closed the notebook and pushed it aside. "Well," I said, "in spite of everything that's happened, Jane and Philip still seem to have fond recollections of Olga Rudge. They have a portrait of her." "Oh?" Mary looked surprised. "Where is it?" "In their apartment," I said. "I would like to know who paid for it." "I gather Jane commissioned it and paid for it herself," I said. Mary smiled a sardonic smile. "I would like to know who paid for it."